Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue a teaching series called Uncommon Courage. In these lessons, Rick is going to share biblical inspiration that will help you get the courage you need to follow God's calling for your life. If you'd love to help the kids you know learn God's Word, then stay with us. Because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about God's Big Plans for Me, an easy-to-understand storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Courage to Keep Going.
What I need to do, instead of asking why, is I need to take step four. Trust God in things I don't understand. That's step four. I stop asking why, because I'm not going to find the answer now, and I trust God in things I don't understand. Now, the fact is, God always answers prayer. Always, 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 always answer prayer. He doesn't always answer yes. He doesn't always answer the way I wish. In fact, there are hundreds of ways God can answer your prayers besides yes. Sometimes God answers a prayer with yes. Sometimes God answers a prayer with no. Sometimes God answers a prayer with not yet. Sometimes God answers a prayer with wait. Sometimes God answers a prayer with, you got to be kidding me. Sometimes God answers a prayer with, you be the answer. I mean, go out and you be the answer. I mean, you say, God, I need a lot of money. And God says, go get a job. God, I want to get married. Well, get out there and meet some people. God's not going to drop a man just out of heaven. He might smash you. Sometimes God says, you be the answer. Sometimes God says, trust me. You're not going to know on this one. Just trust me. So there are lots of different ways that God answers prayer. Now, for 37 chapters in the book of Job, Job is asking the why question. Why, God? Why is this happening to me? Why are you allowing this? Why so much pain? Why so much discomfort? Why haven't you answered my prayers? Why do you, why? And in chapter 8, Job stops asking why, and God says, okay, hang on, Job. I'd like to ask you a few questions. And for the next two chapters, chapter 38 and chapter 39, God barrages Job with questions that only God can answer. He says, like, where were you when I made the universe? Can you explain the law of gravity? You know, that kind of stuff. Do you understand why the sun is hot? And for two chapters, God answers and asks questions that obviously only God could answer. And Job realizes, after two chapters of listening to God's question to him, who am I to be questioning God? I mean, really, I'm just a man. My knowledge is limited. I can't see it all. My brain capacity is too small. If you could understand why God does everything he does in your life, you'd be God, but you're not. And for me to try to understand the ways of God in the world is like an ant trying to understand the internet. No matter how hard that ant tries, he's not going to understand the internet. There is no way that a finite human is going to understand an infinite God. You don't have the capacity. So there's some things I just have to trust God for. I don't understand them. They don't make sense. I'm filing it in the Ask God Later file, but I'm going to trust God in the things I don't understand. So Job goes, my knowledge is limited. I can't see it all. My brain capacity is too small. I'm just a man. So he stops questioning, and he starts trusting. Job 42, 1 to 3 and verse 6. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything, God. And I know that no one can stop you. You're sovereign and you're omnipotent. You, God, ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? Job's doing a little internal conversation here. He says, God, I can imagine you saying, who is this guy that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? And Job admits, it is I. I was talking about things I did not understand, things far too wonderful for me. God, I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Job says, I was talking about things I didn't understand. This situation's way over my head. It's above my pay grade. I don't have the capacity to understand the ways and the wisdom of God. I'm sorry. I repent. I was wrong. I should just trust you in this. Now, what do you do when you're in a situation that you don't see what God sees? You can't see the whole picture. Things aren't clear, and it makes no sense at all to you what's happening. What do you do in that situation? You remind yourself of the things about God that you do know, that you know for certain, that you can rely on, and you publicly affirm what you do know in the midst of all the things that you don't know and you don't understand. And this is exactly what Job does throughout the entire book. I just wrote a few of them down there on your outline. Job reminds himself, he says, I know that God is good, and I know that God is loving. Job chapter 10. He says, I know that God is all-powerful. He says, I notice that God notices every detail of my life. I know that for sure. I know that God is in control. I know that God has a plan for my life, and I know that God will protect me. He affirms in the middle of his doubts the stuff he does know to be true. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now, and you may not feel it, but I will tell you this. God is passionately and intimately aware of every detail in your life that you're going through right now. And he's paying attention to every breath and every burp in your life. Nothing misses God's attention because God is complete love. And he made you to love you. And he notices everything in your life.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
The Bible says, children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or kids in your neighborhood that need to know God loves them and has a good plan for their lives? You can help them get closer to God by encouraging them to read His Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource just for kids called God's Big Plans for Me. It's a storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. This 223-page hardcover children's book includes 40 well-loved Bible stories to help kids engage with God's Word. Each Bible story has an introduction from Pastor Rick that helps young readers understand the Word of God and has a closing thought with a practical step boys and girls can take to discover God's big plans for them. Their eyes will light up as they turn the beautifully illustrated pages and really start to get what God wants to say to their young hearts and minds. God's Big Plans for Me is so much more than just a book filled with cute pictures of Bible characters. It's a fun and effective way to introduce children to God's everlasting truth. This book makes a great gift. You'll want to get a copy for every child in your life. And today, when you give a gift to help Pastor Rick's Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus Christ around the world, we'll send you a copy of God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible to say thanks. To get your copy of this great resource, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word daily to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word daily to 800-600-5004. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Today is the last day to get God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
So even though Job doesn't understand what's going on, he makes these affirmations of faith, and you need to do this. I know you're good. I know you're loving. I know you're powerful. I know you notice the details of my life. I know you're in control. I know you have a plan. I know you will protect me. And after making all these affirmations, Job comes to the decision, I'm going to trust God no matter what. I may not understand it, but I'm going to trust God no matter what. Look at this next verse. Job says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Whoa. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, God, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust you. God, if you kill me, I'm still going to trust you. If you end my life, I'm still going to trust you. Have you come to that maturity in your faith? Are you just still a spiritual baby and you can only trust God when things go good in your life? The ultimate test of faith is, God, I don't understand it all, but I know you're a good God, and even if you let me die, I'm going to trust you. Because I wasn't made for this life anyway. I was made for heaven. You know, there's a phrase that has helped me a lot as I deal with senseless tragedies, and I see them all the time as your pastor, because I'm hearing what's going on in your life and in your life and in your life, and I see it all the time. And one of the things I've just come to say in my mind as I say this, it's all a part of the plan. It's all a part of the plan. That's a good thing to remember. It's all a part of the plan. It's not all good. And God doesn't cause it. God doesn't cause sin. If I went out here and got drunk and got in an accident and hurt somebody, that would not be God's will. It would not be God causing it. But you know what? God says, I'm even bigger than your sin. I'm bigger than your mistakes. I'm greater than your faux pas and faults and stupid decisions. And you know what? I'll even fit that into the plan for good. Somebody who's had to deal with the why questions and had to deal with trusting God when it didn't make sense is Pastor Eric and Stacy. And would you give them a warm welcome as they come and tell their story?
We would like to share with you how God is helping us press on when life hurts and you feel hopeless. Our lives forever changed on March 3rd, 2011, when we were told that our healthy, active, beautiful, and caring 11-year-old daughter, Jessie, had a brain tumor. It was not just a brain tumor, but one that was inoperable and incurable because it was in her brainstem. The doctors gave us 12 to 18 months and told us to make the most of the days that we had with Jess. Truly the worst news any parent would ever be told. This news brought immense waves of pain, confusion, worry, and fear at hurricane forces into our lives. We felt so vulnerable and helpless. Parents are supposed to make boo-boos go away, but this one was out of our control. After days and days of research and getting over 30 second opinions, hope was fading away super fast. Less than 150 kids get this tumor a year. Researchers had spent 30 years trying to cure it, and less than 1% of the kids live past 5 years. We chose to focus on that 1%. We had hope because we believe that God is in the miracle business. I even thought my years of ministry and pastoral service to his church would somehow gain our prayers some special type of treatment. We begged God to heal Jessie. We pleaded with God to heal Jessie. I even negotiated with him. We were so, so desperate.
All of this was going on inside of us while we did our best to remain positive with Jessie and her big sister Shea and little brother JT. Jessie knew she had a tough tumor, but we chose to focus on hope. If you lose hope, you have nothing. So we focused on the hope Jessie could be one of those kids that make it 5 years or maybe even longer. Surely God would hear our prayers and pleas. Jesse started treatment in April of 2011, which consisted of 30 rounds of radiation, followed by daily chemo and a ton of other meds. The radiation would cause Jesse to feel extremely tired and caused her little toned muscular body to become weak. She no longer could run upstairs to play Legos with her brother. Rather, piggyback rides became a way of transport. She did a good job dealing with how the chemo made her feel, but it was so hard to see her wavy blonde hair fall out. She'd so desperately wanted to be normal again. Every time we went to Children's Hospital of Orange County, we prayed as a family in the car, asking God to give Jesse strength and courage to face the treatment. She was such a trooper. She listened to Healer by Carrie Job and Move by Mercy Me during her radiation treatments. As soon as the nurses would come get her, we would just hug and cry and pray for our sweet pea. We wanted so desperately to take it all away.
We had hoped that it was all just a big, bad dream. The truth was, a train headed to heaven was coming, and Jess had a seat on it. We had no idea when it was going to arrive, but all of the data was telling us that it would sooner or later stop for her. We still prayed and prayed countless times a day. Many of you ushered prayers to God on our behalf. The tens of thousands of people following Jesse's journey on Facebook were praying also. Our daily goal was quite simple. Hold on to God, hold on to each other, and hold on to Jess as long as we could. So for the next few months, we pressed on by holding on. The shining light in the storm was actually Jesse herself. Her smile, her hugs, her belly laughs. Her spirit to press on and trust God herself. Jess clung to Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength I need. All meant beat cancer.
Her desire to help others was unexplainable. See, Jesse asked us if she could help the other boys and girls that had to stay in the hospital for their treatment plans. She didn't like the idea that other kids didn't get to go home for treatment. So we created her Joy Jars. Joy was Jesse's middle name, and it went great with jars. Jesse loved to stuff her Joy Jars with new toys and activities and take them to the hospital for other kids. Soon she was getting requests from all around the world for her Joy Jars. She stuffed and sent out over 3,000 herself. Her compassion for others really became a great distraction from the daily grind of treatment and feeling alone. She also chose to blog about her journey in very transparent ways on her Facebook fan page, a fan page that she used to encourage other kids fighting cancer to NEGU, N-E-G-U, which stands for Never Ever Give Up. NEGU was her little motto and message to others. The great thing about Facebook was it allowed tens of thousands of people from all around the world to pray for and encourage Jesse. Many of you sent notes of encouragement, and we want to thank you for that. She read every one of them. Then, on September 18th, 2011, an MRI showed Jesse had a second tumor. All of the millions of prayers didn't get answered. All of the pleading didn't work. All of the fears were back stronger than ever. God didn't heal our sweet pea. Why not? Why would he choose to let Jesse suffer more?
When this news came, I got really mad at God. Really mad. I vented like never before because he had the power to heal Jess, and he was choosing not to. After my month-long self-made pity party, I came to the realization that God didn't owe me an answer. All Stacy and I could do was trust. So we pressed on and got Jesse 10 more rounds of radiation, plus a new chemo that needed to be administered with an IV this time. This was not the greatest news, as Jess hated needles, But by this time, she had been poked over 100 times from her weekly labs and tests. This news also caused us to have more serious talks with Jessie about heaven. Jessie understood she could die, but chose to press on and enjoyed life the best she could. And we just followed her never ever give up spirit. Then, at 4:30 a.m. on January 5th of this year, Stacy woke me up and told me she couldn't wake Jess. Was this the day the trade was going to stop? We weren't ready for it. It had only been 10 months, and the doctors said 12 to 18. What was happening? Did they lie to us? Was God trying to punish us? Was God trying to teach us some life lesson? It was all so confusing. When I got to Jessie, I could tell something was not right. She was very lethargic. So we called the palliative care team, and based off of our diagnosis, they asked us to call all of our extended family. By 6 a.m., the nurses had arrived, given Jessie more meds, and got oxygen flowing to comfort her body. Thankfully, Jessie was in no pain, but we sure were. Our hearts were being ripped out, and we couldn't stop it. God clearly was not going to heal Jess here on earth. He had his reasons and purposes, but we had no idea what they might be. Then the nurse asked me to pray for Jessie. I thought, what do I pray? God had not answered all of my prayers to heal her. But then this peace came over me as I verbally and mentally surrendered my daughter to the loving hands of her heavenly Father. That day we realized, like never before, that although we loved Jessie deeply as her earthly parents, her heavenly Father loved her even more than we did. Then at 7 a.m., we woke up Shay and JT to tell them that Jessie was going to heaven this day. Seeing the hurt and fear on their faces added more and more pain. It just didn't seem fair. Finally, at 11:10 a.m., on January 5th, 2012, Jess joined our Heavenly Father. No more cancer, no more pain, no more suffering.
We were so honored to have over 9,000 people watch her celebration of life service, and close to 300 people gave their lives to God that day. The last 8+ months have been a roller coaster of emotion. We're defining a new normal for our family. As Pastor Rick always says, you don't get over grief, you get through it. It's true. We have our ups and downs. Our hearts still hurt. Some days are good and some not so good. But slowly we're healing as we press on one day at a time, trusting God for what we do not understand. There are many questions we have for God, but we've placed them in our Talk to God file.
One thing we have learned over the past year and a half is that the only way we can press on is to be authentic with our feelings, trust God, lean on our family and our friends and our small group, be grateful for what we still do have, and keep moving forward. Jessie's motto has become our motto: never ever give up on God. We all have a choice to every day to be bitter or better. Stacy and I want to be better. And we pray that no matter what happens in your life, you too will choose to let it make you better and not bitter. Thank you, and God bless.
You may be thinking, where was God when my loved one died? The same place he was when his son died on the cross for you. When his son was dying for your sins so you could go to heaven. He was grieving. He was weeping. He was sorrowing over the brokenness of this planet because of sin. And now nothing works right. But you weren't made to live forever on this planet. No, no. You were made for something far more. This is just a stopover place. You weren't made to live on earth forever. You ought to thank God you're not going to live on earth forever. With all the sorrow and suffering and sickness and illness and sin and abuse and perversion and war and crime and hatred and all of the evil that's in this world, you ought to thank God you're not going to live forever on this planet. You were made for so much more. But you need a Savior. As I've said many, many times, if you didn't need a Savior, God wouldn't have sent Jesus at Christmas. For unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. If you could get into heaven without Jesus Christ dying for your sins, believe me, Jesus wouldn't have wasted his blood and God wouldn't have wasted his son. There's no other way. You need a Savior. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but you need to do these steps. You need to just be gut level honest with God and tell him exactly how you feel. He can handle it. You need to involve other people in your life, godly, good people. Get a small group. Get some support system. And let other people help you. Humble yourself and receive help. Stop asking why. File it in the doesn't make sense file. And start trusting God in all the things you don't understand. There are two other things Stacy and Eric did. Job did it too. You might write these down. Number five, refuse to become bitter. Refuse to become bitter.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, the Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or kids in your neighborhood that need to know God loves them and has a good plan for their lives? You can help them get closer to God by encouraging them to read God's Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource just for kids called God's Big Plans for Me. It's a storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
In Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." How do we bring children to Jesus? Well, the best way is to read the Bible with them. You know, when my kids were growing up, I could always see their excitement about Jesus grow every time we read stories from the Bible together. Now, I see that same excitement when I read the Bible with my grandchildren. I love teaching them at such an early age that God created them for a purpose, that they are not an accident, that they matter to God, and that He has a special plan for their lives. So I'm excited to tell you that I've teamed up with a very gifted children's illustrator to prepare a new Bible for children. It's called God's Big Plans for Me, Storybook Bible. Your kids will learn from God's Word in ways that are easy to understand. And long after they learn to read on their own, this storybook Bible is going to keep on encouraging them to trust in God's promises. The God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible contains 40 well-loved Bible stories that will help your kids learn how to apply God's Word to their lives. Each story is beautifully illustrated. It's incredible. And includes an introduction from me that encourages them to discover God's great purpose for them. It's fun, it's effective, it's entertaining, it's challenging, it's captivating. It's a great way to introduce children to God's eternal truths. Now, I'll send you this Bible for Children, God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible, just as a way of saying thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope today. We depend on your gifts. I want you to have this as my thank you gift to you. I hope you'll get a copy for all the children in your life, your kids, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, even children you know in your neighborhood. They'll all love this. We've had nothing but 100% great feedback from people who've seen the God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible.
To get your copy of this great resource, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Today is the last day to get God's Big Plans for Me Storybook Bible, so don't wait. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.